Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
We are talking about age. Age and age differences in dating. So we're going to discuss, how dating is different in the different stages of life that guys go through. If you're old, if you're young, if you're in between. We might even get to hear from some girls at different ages, and we can get their feedback. One thing that's always a little bit questionable when you're asking girls for their feedback is sometimes it's hard for them to be objective. So we're going to obviously listen to their answers and then make sure if, you know, it's not just their own experience and it's being looked at through some sort of filter, or if it's the actual objective truth. So Tyler posted a really interesting meme. I don't know if it's a meme or a graph in the Leverage group, and it's the female access to men. We're gonna be a little bit more PC. So female access to dudes versus male access to women, and basically the way that works is when women are really, when they hit like 18, they've reached sexual maturity. They're as hot as they might ever be, and they'll continue to be that hot until like the age of 24, typically 24, 25, and that is when they have their most radiance, their most youth. They're young, they're fun, they're exploring, right? Those are more personality traits, but just in terms of pure beauty. In our culture in the West, you know, there's a currency for that beauty. So women in that age between kind of like 19 and 24, they have access to the most resources than they'll ever have in the rest of their life, just based on, you know, the things they don't control, based on their looks. So if you talk about a man, guys, when they're 17, 18, 19, I mean, fuck, I was... I was just such a geek. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. Like, comparing an 18-year-old guy to an 18-year-old girl is crazy. That's like comparing a, 38-year-old guy or a 4-year-old guy to a 40-year-old girl, because it takes guys so much longer to mature. You know, guys don't hit their kind of sexual peak. They don't hit their potential where they're maximizing their resources until, you know, right around in their early 30s, according to this graph, age 33. And that's typically when a guy has accumulated some wealth, he's accumulated a lot of work experience and life experience as an adult. From the age of 18 to 33, that's 15 years of being an adult and being on your own and going about life. There's just a ton of things that you pick up on. You learn how to be more intelligent, how to take care of business, and not just a business or running a business. I'm talking about just how to take care of business in general. How to get things done, how to solve problems, how to be a man, basically. It's kind of weird that, especially in the Jewish religion, you're a man at age 13 when you're bar mitzvah. That's a bunch of shit. I didn't even start feeling like a man until I kind of hit like right around the age 30. Now I'm 34, and it's like, I've kind of been feeling that for maybe a couple of years, where it's like, all right, I got my shit handled. I'm not reliant on my parents anymore. I'm not worried about, all these petty things you're worried about in your 20s. You have some confidence, you have a lot of experience. You give less of a fuck about what people think of you. And the great thing about being a man is, even though that happens later, that kind of like the being at the top, being in your prime, lasts a lot longer for men than it does for women. According to this graph, and I think this graph is pretty accurate just in terms of just on the surface level anyways. And you're there from age like 33 until 44, 45, you're at the peak of your ability to access resources, access women. And, that's a long time. That's almost 12 years where, according to this graph, women only get about 5. But it's a different, our society rewards men for for their accomplishments, and our society rewards women for their beauty. Obviously, there's more rewards than others. And, you know, it's not totally binary like that, but, you know, women are judged based on their looks and guys are judged based on what they've accomplished. And most guys don't start accomplishing stuff until their early 30s. So this can change, obviously, per person. And so you have this funny kind of intersection going on that happens in the late 20s. And that's when women's value on this graph becomes equal to men's value. It's right around 27, 28. And that's when most people get married. And what happens is girls will basically go through this party time where they just have tons of access to resources. If they're hot, they get flown around, taken to amazing places, typically by older guys who have money, who can afford that. And so they, you know, they're not going to waste their time dating a 21 or a 22 year old who is just like finishing college and getting some job at like Enterprise rental car straight out of school. They're going to, you know, they're going to take a way better path for what they perceive as fun and date a guy probably around my age. You know, someone in their early 30s, mid 30s who has access to resources that can show them awesome times, that can travel with them. So you have, and women mature much faster than men, like I mentioned. So it's very common to see girls in their mid or early 20s dating guys in their early 30s and 40s. If you go to other countries, like Ukraine, for example, it's very common for girls in their early 20s to date guys in their 50s, even 60s. The age difference is not that big of a stigma there. Europe, it's much more encouraged and tolerated, and the age thing isn't such a big deal. In the U.S., you kind of have this, this college period, which is a little bit different. So girls who do end up going to college, you know, when they're in college, they're kind of dating their same age, right? They're dating guys, and the sorority girls are dating fraternity guys. And they're focused on their studies and they're focused on school, and they're not really meeting, you know, dudes who are going to take them on a whole bunch of trips. I mean, they might, but they have responsibilities. They might do that shit in the summer, right? They'll hang out in the Hamptons and maybe, you know, hook up with some 30-year-old dudes. But during the school year, they're, I'd say on the most are a little bit more interested in college life and dating a college guy. You know, you'll have freshman girls dating seniors in college, that sort of thing. But girls who don't go to college and they're out in the real world, they're way more likely to encounter these sorts of dating dynamics. And if you do go the college route, typically what happens is as a guy in college, you know, you get some ass here and there, but it's nothing overwhelming. You certainly don't have the access that a smoking hot girl in college has to guys. And then you get a job and you kind of start building some wealth. And then by the age of 27 or 28, you're in that marriage zone. And your counterpart, she went to college. She had tons of access. She could get any guy she wanted. She probably had a lot of fun and did a lot of crazy stuff, both during the school year and the summer. And then, you know, she starts hitting her late 20s. She wants a family. She wants to slow down. She's gotten all that partying out of the way. So now you guys are a perfect fit. At the age of 27 or 28, you can get into the marriage zone. So the thing that this graph kind of, that it talks about mostly is if you're a guy who hasn't had a lot of fun and hasn't had a lot of experiences, and you just jump in to a marriage with the first hot chick that you meet in your late 20s, a lot of the time you're going to end up regretting that and you're going to want to go back and sow those wild oats. And you'll be, because as you get older, your resources are only going to increase and your access is only going to improve, and all of a sudden you'll have tons of really hot, young, beautiful women knocking at your door, and it might be hard to say no to that. So it's a lot of marriages, a lot of situations that get ruined by those dynamics. The woman gets older, her value goes down. The guy gets older, his value goes up, and now you have a value scale that's no longer equal. So that's the female axis to dick versus male axis to poon by age graph. Any questions on that? Anyone? I know most of you guys in the group have seen that. I hammer that home all the time. But any questions on that before we move on?
Can you explain more about how women mature earlier than men do?
Yeah, so Well, so are you asking from a, we can talk about both sides. We can talk about mental and physical maturity, right? So when it comes to physical maturity, guys tend to hit their growth spurts later. It's very normal for like the tallest kids in like a sixth or seventh grade class to be girls. I'm 5'10", and I was like 5'2" up until my junior year of high school. And then I grew like 8 inches my junior and senior year. But I was like the shortest kid, shortest kid as in boy and girl in my class. Like all the girls were taller than me. All the boys were taller than me. There were other boys that were kind of my height too. So guys tend to hit growth spurts later. Mature a little later. It's obviously some guys are different, but on the whole, at least in the US, I'd say that's fairly common. And obviously, as you mature physically, it has an effect on your mental maturity. But the big difference is once girls hit like age 16, 17, 18, and they look really good, they're going to start getting tons of attention from men. And all of that attention leads to a lot of experiences. They have to learn how to deal with dudes checking them out, deal with dudes hitting on them, deal with dudes offering them things. They're just basically getting bombarded with opportunity. And whenever you're bombarded with opportunity, there's huge, you know, you're basically being forced into like a what do they call it? Like a boiler pot or a, you know, you're forced to deal with that, right? You can passively move through life, but you're dealing with these opportunities. As a guy, you're not getting any opportunities at those ages. Like any opportunities you want, you have to create for yourself, right? Like just look at sororities and fraternities. To join a sorority, it's super easy. They don't really do much hazing. You just kind of go and you sign up, and if you're hot, you get in. For fraternities, there's hazing going on. There's rituals that you have to do. They have to pass. It's a really hard process. There's a lot more girls in sororities than guys in fraternities at most schools. So there's a limited access to those resources there. And then the fraternities control all the parties. So they make it tougher for guys to join. So as a guy, you know, you have to create those opportunities. You have to go out and actively improve yourself and improve your situation. So that's why it's easier. That's why girls mature faster, is because they just get kind of tossed into it, I think. I guess I'd have to think about it a little bit more, but that's kind of the theory off the top of my head. Does anyone agree or disagree?
Actually, I have something to add to that I read once or saw once in a documentary that was interesting. There was a biological basis for this too. Basically, what they were saying was that because men are so flooded with testosterone, this actually distracts us from being present in ways that it doesn't as much for women when we're growing up. So for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I think there could be some merit to that. You know, certainly as like, you know, a 16, 17 year old boy, you're horny as fuck. All you can think about is sex and, or sports, or, you know, at least that was me. I was just either playing sports or thinking about chicks, and I couldn't get any, but I still think about them all the time. while girls are definitely a little bit more social, a little bit more present. I think there's merit to that. And anytime you're aware and you're conscious of yourself, you're going to grow a lot faster as a person than if you're kind of checked out and dealing with your own hormones. So thanks for throwing that in there, Ara. It's funny, one thing I heard that in a lot of, early civilization cultures, what they would do in certain tribes, I don't remember where these were, but they would have older women sleep with younger guys to essentially show them how to be good lovers, and it would help them mature. It was also a good fit because if you look at how males and females kind of mature sexually, guys are the most horny and the most like fertile at younger ages, 18, 19, 20. Whereas women don't hit that sexual maturity. They don't hit their sexual peak until their late 20s, early 30s. You know, that's why you have these sites like all the cougar sites, right? It's because there's these horny older chicks and they want these young studs. Because once as a guy, you hit, you know, early 30s, your testosterone, you know, you might stop making testosterone altogether. We did a call recently where we had an expert on testosterone replacement therapy come on, and he said that like age 34, your body just stops producing for a lot of guys, and your testosterone levels like go way down, which makes you way less sexual, makes you way less horny, which lowers your sperm count, all that stuff. And well, I don't know about lowering your sperm count, but I think that's part of it too. So basically, you know, you match up a 21-year-old guy with a 32-year-old girl, you've got a perfect machine for cranking out kids. What you don't have a perfect machine for is healthy relationships, because a 33-year-old chick is extremely mature. She's had a ton of experience dating and fucking and communicating, where a 23-year-old guy is, you know, I think I only slept with two or three girls up until the age of 23. So that's a huge, you know, they don't do that anymore, but I think it's something that they should bring back, because if you're 23 and you learn how to fuck from an experienced chick in her early 30s, well, then you can now meet a girl who's your age and be well better equipped to handle those situations. It'll make you grow up faster as well. Well, we have Carly on the line, so she's going to give us her input. I'm 34. She just turned 23. So if you compare this graph, it illustrates our relationship to a T. She's at the peak of her ability to cultivate male resources, and I'm at the peak of mine. So I guess we found each other while being at the top, baby. So first off, how do you feel about this graph? And then give us your just kind of dating history and experience. Obviously now, you're dating me, and I'm, you know, 11 years older than you. When you first started dating, what was it like, you know, dating guys your age?
And when really shitty.
And tell us when that was. When was your first, like, you know, kind of what you would call like a normal relationship, and how old were you and how old was he?
Well, I think I've been in a relationship forever since I was 14, and really probably like just a few months, not in a relationship. So I've always been sort of in a relationship. I guess it wasn't until I was about 20 and I started realizing that guys my age sucked and that maybe I should date older guys. And when I started dating guys that were older, it introduced you to such a different lifestyle. Like guys my age, or, you know, guys around, I would say probably 25 and under, don't really have their shit together, which obviously is fine, but they also don't really know what they're doing and they're not really secure with themselves. And I feel like they also lie a lot more than guys that are older. Not really because they're liars, just because they want to kind of impress more, and guys that are a little bit older and more comfortable with themselves, so they don't really feel the need to like make up stories or lie, etc.
Okay, and so when you were 20, what was your first kind of experience where you're like, whoa, it's okay to date older guys? Because a lot of girls, especially in college, you know, like if you're a college chick and you meet a guy at a bar and you're 21 and you find out he's like 28, a lot of girls would be like, whoa, you're way too old.
It was interesting at first, because I remember my first, it was, I worked at a bar and it was a new manager that came in, and I was 20 and he's 30, and we were just hanging out, and he's like, you know, I like you. I'm like, oh, I can't talk to you. Like, you're so old. And looking back, I'm like, wow, he wasn't much older than me, 10 years difference. But some people, that seems like an eternity. And I guess it is. I think if you're under 22, 23, it's a little bit harder because you are still really immature as a girl. And I mean, I'm still immature and I am 23. So, it was weird at first because we thought, like, we'd like hide everything and not tell people, because it was kind of taboo to date. Especially in Texas, you know, that's not, people don't date outside of, you know, 2 or 3 years age range. And so it was interesting. And then I thought older guys sucked because he broke my heart and started dating an older woman. and then I was sad.
So, well, what made you change your mind about older guys?
Well, I kept pursuing guys that weren't my age, because there were some things that I really liked, which was the maturity aspect. And, you know, like they have their own house and they have their own car and et cetera. And so I guess I didn't really want to go back to dating guys that were younger, because at the same time I wasn't exclusive with this guy. We were just dating, and I was also seeing a younger guy, and it was a completely different world. You know, the younger guy is super just crazy and like batshit crazy off the wall. And the older guy is more, like I said, secure of himself. So kind of making that transition, like, which do you really want? You know, do you want that crazy, you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow lifestyle, or do you want a security blanket sort of thing?
Yeah, and I think another way to put it too is, from an energetic standpoint, younger guys, their energy is more scattered. They're less grounded. They're kind of all over the place, versus an older guy, as you were saying, he's more grounded. He's more calm, cool, collected, the James Bond type. He's used to dealing with all sorts of different situations. He's used to facing tension. And the older you get, the better you are at dealing with uncomfortable situations. And anytime you're confronted with a situation that's uncomfortable, if you're not prepared, you're going to lose your cool. You're going to lose your cool and probably do something you regret, make a bad decision, versus if you have faced those decisions many, many times, then you can stay cool under pressure and act in your best interest. So I feel like that's maybe what you're talking about in terms of the difference in the energy.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. What about friends? Any friends that you have that, or, you know, I know a few of your friends that like got married really young or had kids really young. And that tends to happen a lot too. You have some people that don't really, you know, they'll hook up with a high school sweetheart or a college person, and then they'll pop out some kids. And, what have you noticed with some of your friends like that and how it relates to this graph?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of my friends that got married really young or had kids really young aren't with, I think about, I would say about 90% of them aren't with the person they had a kid with or got engaged with under the age of 25. And, you know, I think no matter what age you are, if you're in a relationship and you're not learning from the other person, that's going to be really detrimental from your relationship, especially if you're not growing. And if you can't learn without each other, and especially if you're young, you fall in this trap like, oh, we're going to be together forever and da-da-da, and you don't really try and help your life as an individual. You basically rely your whole life or put your whole life on this other person, and that's the worst that I've seen. And a lot of younger couples do that, I think, more than older couples. I'm not really sure what, do you know why that would be?
Wait, why they what?
Like, younger couples will tend to not really want to grow as a person and more just, you know, do everything together and like stick together, and that's all, that's great and all, but then they're not really individuals anymore.
Well, they're
focused,
kind of rely, they're focused more on, I think what you're talking about is they're focused more on just making sure that they keep up with life, you know, just kind of, you know, making sure that they pay the bills and they feed their kids and that, that they survive. They're in survival mode, versus when you have some money and you have some resources, you can focus more on improving what you're already doing. If you're in survival mode, you're just worried about, you know, surviving, and otherwise you're looking at how you're doing things, you're optimizing, and you're more aware and you're conscious of your actions. Going back to this, one thing a lot of guys, they make the mistakes that I made over and over and over, which is I kept dating girls my age instead of dating younger girls. And I kept finding myself in situations where girls wanted to have a family and commit with me, and I wasn't ready. And that's because I didn't really get to, you know, have a lot of crazy experiences and have a lot of fun and, you know, basically play out this graph. I didn't get to be a player until I was like age, I don't know, 29. Between 28 and 29, I lost a bunch of weight, and after that, I saw a huge improvement in how girls reacted and responded to me. So, you know, instead of having all that time like a girl would have from age 19 to like 28 to be a player or to be a slut, as the graph projects, I didn't get to have that. So I was in a relationship with a girl. I was 31. She was 30. And the relationship was great. She was great. She really loved me and I loved her, but she wanted to get married. And I was just like not ready to have that. And there was part of me and that like, you know, thought that would be a good idea. But there was a way bigger part of me saying, red alert, don't do that. You're going to regret it. You're going to ruin the marriage. You're going to fuck up the, you know, your kids' childhood and all that stuff. So I think it's really important for guys to go out and do the things that they need to do before they settle into some sort of commitment like that. Cause that could just, you know, it's unfair to the girl. So I made that mistake many times of dating girls in their late 20s, early 30s who are in that biological clock zone. And I wasted a lot of their time, which is what I regret. Cause that's not cool, right? You obviously, if a girl is ready to have kids, she only has a window of time where she can make that happen. So you have no business dating a girl in her late 20s, early 30s. If you don't want to have kids the next couple years, just don't do it. Date a girl who's younger or date a girl who's older, right? Like dating a 25-year-old isn't that different than dating like a 35-year-old or a 36-year-old. The only difference is she probably won't be as hot as she was when she was 25, but she will be more horny and she probably won't be thinking about kids as much anymore because she's kind of past that stage. So those can be great relationships too. I see, you know, if you look at like the Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore dynamic, she had already had her kids with Bruce Willis. She was still hot and relevant and awesome. And he was like this young fucking stallion and they had a really awesome relationship for a long time. And that was, you know, in the confines of this graph. So I love this graph because it illustrates a lot of truth, especially in Western culture. It's not true for everything and it is kind of surface level, but it definitely encapsulates what's going on. Let's see. Carly, was there anything else you wanted to add about your experience with older guys? Do you want to say anything about the guy you dated who was significantly older than you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't. I was 21 or 20, yeah, I guess 21. And he turned 40. So that's 19 years. That's a lot older. And I mean, it was an amazing relationship. He's an amazing person. We're still friends to this day. You know, I was texting him today. Actually, it's his birthday. He's a great person. You know, like talked with Robbie about him. I'd love for Robbie and him to meet. And he's just a really good person. But it was kind of too big of an age gap just because a lot of things were hard to relate on. I mean, he did still go out and club. But that was about the only thing that we had to, that we could had to relate on. And so, I don't know, with you, it's easier, or at least, you know, in the same sort of decade. Not really, I guess you're 11 years, almost.
Well, we're both millennials, right?
Yeah.
You came in the other day like, baby, yo, you're still a millennial. Anyone born after 82 is still a millennial. And as an older guy, you know, you want to stay relevant. So if you do want to date girls who are younger, that you know what's going on pop culturally and you don't look like an old fuddy-duddy. And just the same, I'm like, as the older I get, the more I find myself interested in like, you know, Civil War documentaries and shit like that, that I had no interest in like my mid-20s, early 20s, history stuff, just, you know, and it just depends on your age and what you're interested in. I really used to like rap music. All I did when I was 18, 19 is I mobbed around in my lifted Suburban listening to Tupac and Biggie and like fucking Ludacris. And I had three 12-inch subwoofers in my car and I'd roll around the city just fucking bumping that shit. Now, if
you know, babe, it's really weird that you only got laid three times before 23.
Yes, it's shocking, right? No, actually, though, that Suburban did contribute to me getting laid many times. That was like the coolest fucking pimpish ride in school in Huntington Beach in 2001, yo. That was the shit. But now, like, I would just feel like a total fucking loser driving that car, bumping that music. And I could never understand why my dad didn't like the music. I was like, Dad, what's wrong with you? This is good stuff. Like, why are you listening to classic rock? And why are you listening to classic music? Like, who cares about that shit? So, you know, all your interests change when you're older. But one thing about dating younger girls. They keep you young. They keep you relevant. So it has its benefits there. And, you know, I guess the benefit of girls who are younger is it helps them mature faster as well if they're dating an older guy.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You definitely help me grow up every day.
And, you know, there's a lot of the benefits there, like, you know, when you're young and retarded, you make a lot of mistakes, and some of those mistakes can be very detrimental to your future. Some of them aren't really that big of a deal, and you learn from them. But, you know, that's and it can be more dangerous as a girl to make those mistakes at a young age because girls are a little bit more vulnerable. So I think that's another reason why this age different gap, you know, why older men tend to gravitate towards younger women and vice versa exists. So let's talk, take some of these questions here. What time of mindset do you have on dates with girls of different ages? I might have worded that incorrectly, but since I moved, I've gone out on a good amount of dates with girls ranging from 18, which is 5 years younger than me, to 26, which is 3 years older. So he's 23. The 26-year-old involved a lot of me getting to know her, revealing stuff about me, while the younger girls, I could reveal zero about me and just show her friends that I'm chill and she'd be DTF. Yeah, good point, Eddie. It's a lot different dealing with girls at these different ages. You know, when you're meeting a girl who's 26, 27, she's going to want to know what you're about. She's going to be sizing you up as a husband, as a father. She's starting to make decisions based on her future. A girl at 18 does not give a fuck about anything except what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. She just wants all the fun, all the time. Fun, 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 fun. Flashy music, lights, fun. So you got to bring the fun. And if you don't bring the fun, you're just not interesting. That's what an 18-year-old wants. A 26-year-old, you know, she's had that fun. She's done all that shit. She doesn't really give a fuck. She's looking for something more long-term. She's looking more for personality. In terms of what you bring to the table as someone in her life versus personality in terms of what you bring to the table right now. And then a girl like Carly's age, Carly, I think you kind of fall in between that. What do you think?
What do I think about the statement?
Yeah,
I think it's very accurate.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's easier to be closer for girls because they haven't seen as much. And same with guys, you know, the older you get, the more sure of yourself you are and what you want. When you're younger, it's more just about experiencing as much as you can
right, all
the time. And when you get older, you're going to know what you want and what you're looking for. So if you're looking at it from like a sexual aspect, yes, I think it's a lot easier to, as you say, bang girls younger, or around, like, you know, like 23 and under versus 26.
Well, yeah, girls will be a little bit more promiscuous between that kind of 18, in that college age range. You know, girls in college are just, like, they go to college to have experiences, sexual experiences is a huge part of that. So they might be a little bit more promiscuous. Girls, once they hit, you know, they start coming into that biological clock range, they might withhold sex because they want to get to know you better. And they know that if they play the sex card, then they lose a lot of value early on in the relationship. And what they're looking for is a commitment. So they'll withhold sex as a way to get that, which isn't a great strategy because that's not really an authentic way to go about dating. But that will work in some sort of situations. The problem is, what she's going to land if she's 26 and withholding sex, she's probably going to land another 25 or 26-year-old guy who's basically just waiting around to get sex because she's hot and he wants it, but he's not really interested in commitment. He's only committing for the sex. And I can't tell you how many times that was me. I would wait around to bang a girl just because I wanted the sex, and I would, you know, fall into a commitment because I knew that's how I would get it. And those were those relationships that turned into the big waste of time. So I really think that's not a good strategy for girls because it, you know, yeah, you might get the commitment, but it's not the commitment you want. It's the commitment that's going to waste 2 or 3 years of your life with a guy who didn't actually want to commit. He just wanted to get laid because you were the hottest girl he's ever fucked as he's coming into his, like, manhood. So terrible strategy there. But Eddie, as a 23-year-old, if you meet a 26 or 27-year-old, you know, that can be great because they're probably not going to think you're going to settle down anytime soon. And as long as you can portray some some more mature aspects of your personality and connect with them, and act older, right? There's a great chance you can end up sleeping with them, and that could be a great little relationship, whether it's a month or two, or, you know, maybe she has no interest in kids and she's just down to whatever, you know, be on that long-term sort of program that you might be on. That can work as well. But there's not a lot of 28-year-olds that are getting involved with 23-year-old dudes just because they know that guy is not ready. But they will fuck that guy. So, you know, a girl in that age range, she's probably more likely to fuck a 21 or 22-year-old hot dude than she is like a 29-year-old dude, just because she knows that it's a better matchup for her age. And then, yeah, if you're older, if you're 23 going out with 18-year-olds, you have to bring a completely different sort of strategy to the table. I hate to call it a strategy, but, you know, you connect with them in different ways. You connect over what's happening now. You do stuff that's fun right now. You don't sit her down and have a talk about your hopes and dreams and aspirations. You take her to Chuck E. Cheese and you fucking play skee ball, you know? So change your strategy based on your age. Then Jay asks, what are the different age brackets? What can you do to maximize your options at each stage? 18 to 22, 23 to 30, 31 to 40. I mean, for a guy, you're always working on the same thing. You're looking to improve yourself as a man. The more mature, the faster you get, the better. You just have to remember that, you know, you have to remember to speak to your audience, and remember who your audience is. So, you know, you should be trying to improve your health, trying to improve your wealth, trying to improve your intelligence, your communication skills. Just get ahead in life. The faster you can be like a self-sustained man who has his shit together, the faster you're going to hit that money zone or that player zone that's on the graph. Some guys can hit that at a really young age. You know, I've seen guys like 26, 27. How old's Corey? I think Corey's like 27 or 28. And he walks around like, you know, like he's my age, like he's 33, 34, 35. He's a real mature dude at a young age. Same with Max, real mature guy, young guy. You know, so you can hit these faster than there's a lot of guys who are just, you know, they mature way later, right? They're still living in their mom's basement at age 40. And it's not until 43 that they figure their shit out. That's not as good, so don't be that guy. What other relevant factors in relation to age, like status, ethnicity, religion, personality type, affect the dating dynamic of a man at different stages of his life? To what degree? For example, in the case of women, is the diagram above different when considering an extrovert atheist LA girl versus introverted Catholic Texan girl? Well, yeah, different cultures have people kind of growing up at different ages and experiencing things at different ages. A girl who's 28 and living in New York City is the equivalent of like a 19-year-old living in, you know, some podunk place in New Mexico. Because in those, you know, in New York City, you stay young longer because you're working, you're in a fast-paced community environment. There's a lot more emphasis placed on individual merit than there is on like creating a family unit, you know, in New Mexico or, you know, places that are middle America. Basically people go to school and then they start having kids, and that's, you know, that's happiness there. You know, you're not trying to climb the corporate ladder and be the CEO in New Mexico. You're trying to raise a family and that's going to bring the most happiness. So you're driven to that at a younger age versus in New York. You put that shit off as long as you can to climb the corporate ladder and to get popular and to, you know, make a name for yourself. It's a much more individual me materialistic type of existence in the big cities in the US. Europe's a little bit different. Europe's kind of a hybrid, which is what's amazing about Europe is, you know, you have women at a very young age that are encouraged to go out and, you know, do the achievements that are encouraged of men. You know, in Croatia, for example, a lot of the Slavic countries, former Yugoslavia, you know, you have girls who are going to become doctors, lawyers. They're really highly educated at a young age, you know, just same as guys. But there's also a huge value on being feminine and the family unit and having kids at a young age too. So you'll see women who become lawyers at like age 24, but by 25 or 26, now, you know, they're already married and now they have kids. And that happens in the US as well, but it seems to happen a little bit more over there these days. So there's less of an emphasis on consumerism, but there's still a huge emphasis on growing up fast and becoming mature and gathering, you know, intelligence and resources. So keep in mind where you are. That's a good point to make. This isn't really a question, but sometimes younger girls say that I'm too old for them. I'm about to turn 24. And older women say I'm too young for them. Any thoughts on this would be good. Well, see, Joey is a 24-year-old, but he acts like Carly. How old do you think Joey acts? You didn't know how old he was. Well, how old would you think he was if you only heard him talk and you didn't really get to see what he looked like?
Carly's in the other room, but I'll answer for her and say 37.
Right? Yeah, so Joey's 24 going on 35, right? So he's going to strike out with the young girls because he's just not on their playing field. But the older girls are going to judge him for being young and dressing young and looking young, and even though he doesn't act young, but they're going to be like, oh, this guy's too young. He's not going to have his shit together, even though he does. So he's put himself kind of in this weird no man's land. So what he needs to do is be able to appeal to the younger girls, and he needs to be able to turn that young, fun, silly side on. And he also needs to be able to act, to basically counteract his age with older girls. And that can be that's a very relevant problem, especially for guys who are working on themselves, going through programs like Leverage or working on their growth. A lot of guys at young age who get into this stuff really fast, they grow up fast, but then they miss that window with the young girls, and they're too young for the older ones. The good news is the older you get, Joey, the more it's going to help, right? You're just going to be more relevant to both sides. You're kind of at this shitty age right now. 24 is a tough age, man. Once you get 26 to 27, I think you'll see a huge improvement just because of that age. So I'm more interested in the perspective and advice of an older 40-plus-year-old guy that does well with younger women. So in order to be, you know, if you want to do well with younger women and you're a 40-plus guy, well, first you have to go to places where it's socially acceptable for young girls to want to date you. Eastern Europe, like Ukraine, that's one of them. New York City, L.A., Miami, San Francisco, those are all socially acceptable places where young girls can date older guys and it's not looked down upon. Ukraine and Russia is, you know, those two places are probably the best example of this, where it's totally normal for older guys to date younger girls. First, you got to go to those places, because if you're working against people's belief systems, there's not much you can do, right? If a girl's 22 and she has in her mind that she has no interest in a guy over 26, and you come in at 40, even though you meet every criteria on her list, you'll give her a better life than that 26-year-old, she's just conditioned to think that way, and it's going to be almost impossible to change that conditioning. She's going to immediately think you're a creep, right? There's nothing you can do. So a lot of this is just putting yourself in the right environment and then being able to relate to them on that level. So if you are 40, you have to be able to bring what they're looking for. If they're like a young model type and they're looking to see the world and travel, you got to be able to bring that. You got to kind of be that big baller who's going to date the young hot model. So if that's what you want, you have to embrace those kind of cultural stereotypes. And I think for you, you kind of like half-ass that, right? You don't really embrace it. You're kind of like, you want to, but you don't really let yourself go there. There's like this internal conflict I feel within you where it's like, yeah, you know, I should do that, but I also kind of want to date a girl my age, and, you know, I don't want to like stoop to that level. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of. I guess my concern with that is like, I wouldn't want that to be like the primary motivation for her to be with me, is because I'm providing that lifestyle. I mean,
right.
You know, I'm fine doing that, but if that's like, if I set the precedent off the bat, then that, as soon as it stops or just kind of gets normal, I feel she's just going to leave. So that's why I don't really do the whole big baller thing right off the bat.
Right. And so this is a really important point. I'm glad you brought that up, because really neither do I nor Jesse. So we show that we are, right? We live lifestyles that look like we are. We look like sponsors, but we're not sponsors. You know, they fucking pull their weight. You know, they do work for us. They do work for our companies. They're self-sustaining. There's always a fine line there, right? Because as a guy, like, I really enjoy being able to provide for my girlfriend. I like being able to pay. And I think as a guy, I think it's great that you should be able to pay and you should be able to support a woman, because once she starts having kids and supporting your family, I think that's a much healthier role for her to be doing, right? I don't think it's a healthy role for both parents to be out crushing money as CEOs and having babysitters raise your children, right? I think it's much healthier where hopefully like...
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think just our society, our civilization has evolved as men being the providers and women being the provided for. But at the same time, you don't want to show a woman that you're just some fucking wallet that can be exploited, because then she'll never have any respect for you. And she'll walk all over you and she'll treat you like shit. And she'll basically have you as a sponsor and she'll go find young 21-year-old hotties to bang. That's what happens in Ukraine, where you have these dynamics a lot. You have these young hot chicks and they have like their 50-year-old sponsor who they fuck, you know, once a week or so, and they're their sugar daddies, they get money. And then they have like their young guys their age that fuck them really well. And then they might have a boyfriend who's like 5 or 6 years older that they're like in love with and, you know, they see a future with. It's very common for girls to have all three there. It's wild. And it is common as well in the U.S. It's just not talked about as much. It's not socially acceptable. So you want to be able to emulate all three. You want to be the guy who can play the sponsor role but doesn't get walked all over. You want to be the guy who can be looked at as, you know, the guy in that marriage zone so the girl sees a future. And you want to be able to fuck like a 21-year-old. So in order to do that, you need to be in tip-top physical shape. So even when you are 40, you can fuck like you're 21. That's why, you know, it's great to have the testosterone guy, like I mentioned earlier. That will allow you to stay younger for longer. And you need to be in a mental space where, you know, if you are looking for that girl who you want to be the one, then you can kind of match up on that level. So, you know, that's how, like, one of the reasons, like, my relationship with Carly, for example, I feel like I fit all those categories pretty well. You know, I have enough money where I can provide and we can do cool shit. We've been to like 30 countries this year. I'm better in bed than I was when I was fucking 19. and I'm in better shape than I was 19. And obviously I'm in that stage where I don't want kids tomorrow, but 3 or 4, 5, 6 years from now, I think that'd be about the right time. And Carly's in that same kind of time zone. So that all kind of matches up. So my ideal after my last relationship ended and my girlfriend at the time was 30 when we broke up, or 31, and I was 33, that just wasn't a good fit. So I knew I needed to find a girl in her early 20s to be a good fit across the board. The one thing that I think you need to improve on is you need to be a little bit more relevant and fun for the girls who are, you know, who are in that 25 to 27 range. Because I think, you know, you'd like to start a family and find a hot, cool, young wifey pretty soon. So you should be looking for girls who are like 26 to 28. That would be your ideal. And I think you're actually in a good position with those girls. It's just, where do you find them? And, you know, if you're going to Romania or you're going to Eastern Europe, that's where they are. Either that or you find them on like college campuses working on their advanced degrees. That's where a lot of those girls hang out, right? Like the young, you know, what do they call them? Whatever, you get the idea.
I kind of want to like hang out where nurses are too. I get along really well with nurses and I feel like they'd be a good girlfriend material too.
Yeah, well, the great thing about some of these female professions is they have young, hot girls who haven't been scooped up just because their work is demanding in the sense of they're moving around and it's hard for them to have a commitment. So most girls who's like 25 or 26, if she's hot, she's good and she's a cool chick, she's going to get scooped up real fast. She's going to get scooped up real fast by someone her age who's got their shit together early, or she's going to get scooped up by someone who's my age, like 34, and who's ready to like move to that next stage in life. Those girls are like, you know, that's when they're at their kind of like absolute peak of the peak. So if you're a guy who's looking to start a family relatively soon, you want a 25, 26 year old girl. That like, that is what you're looking for. And those girls are the rarest, hardest to come by because everyone's trying to put a ring on it, right? So professions like nurses, school teachers, and the other one that we talk about is flight attendants, is you have these hot girls who have been working. You know, they work with kids, or they travel, or they work with sick people. And that's, and they've been focused on their career, and they've been really interested in their career, so they probably haven't pursued relationships as much. And right in that age, they're going to be like, oh, shit, like, I need to stop focusing on career and find a dude. And that's when you can swoop in and make it happen. You know, if a girl hasn't really pursued a career and she's, you know, just out of college, she's probably just going to go and start and find a relationship. Because typically, you know, in order to pursue a career, it comes at the cost of putting your relationships on hold. And that goes, that's true for both men and women. So look for those chicks, career-driven chicks who want to become mommies. That's what you want. And you'll find a lot of that in Eastern Europe.
The notable exception being lawyers, because they're like career-driven, but they're not like family-driven. And
they haven't reached a pinnacle of their career, because to be a top shot lawyer, they're not going to get there until their early 30s. They're not going to become partners at their law firm until their early 30s or mid 30s. So there's just career. Same with female doctors too. They're, you know, you can't even finish real med school until you're like 28. So 26, right? That career timetable pushes them back. So you got to wait. You know, they're not going to come around until their early 30s. And by that time, you know, they might have missed the window to have kids. And that's a huge, you know, that's a big cost for a lot of women who just pursue the career path, the highly intellectual career path, advanced degrees. So you don't want the lawyer. You want the school teacher. You want the nurse, not the doctor.
No, absolutely. And personality-wise, too, yeah.
Right. They're not as you know, obsessed with rising to the top.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I think we covered just about everything, yeah? Thanks for being on the call, and I will talk to you later. Peace.